Asked me the gate. I think it's mentioned in the commentator, in the commentary. We call Pandaka five types of gate. During Buddha's time, sometimes the monk, because of the ripening of previous bad karma, suddenly changed to the bhikkhuni. The bhikkhu suddenly changed the sex. Faculty, the male faculty suddenly changed to the female faculty. So from bhikkhu, suddenly changed, become bhikkhuni. So the monk has to send him to the bhikkhuni monastery. And there's also a case that the bhikkhuni changed the sex faculty to the male faculty. Then Buddha sent her back to the monks. Monastery. So such thing happened during Buddha's time. Then about this sex, like hermaphrodite, gay, it's all because of previous sexual misconduct. Because of unwholesome, deep sexual misconduct, that such thing happened.
But sister, what is the word again?
Pandaka.
Ban.
P.
P. Yeah.
Pandaka.
Huh? How to spell?
P-A-N-T-A-K-A.
So if you want to know in detail, you can read Vinaya. It's not so good for me to tell you here. Okay, let us continue. I have not yet discussed about this color, sound, smell and taste yesterday. So the color is the color of the four great elements. The sound also, the smell is also the smell of the four great elements, and the taste is the taste for the four great elements. And this four objective materiality has the characteristic of impinged to the respective sensitivity materiality. For example, color impinged eye sensitivity, and sound impinged ear. Smell, impinged nose sensitivity, and the taste, impinged tongue sensitivity. So the characteristic of the objective material is impingement. And their function become the object of respective consciousness. For example, color become the object of eye consciousness. And the sound become the object of ear consciousness, smell become the object of nose consciousness, and the taste become the object of tongue consciousness. So their function is to become object of consciousness, respective consciousness. And when the meditator discerns, for example, they discern the blood. When they discern the blood, then they can see thousands of rupa kalapa. Because everything is made by ultimate reality. So they can see thousands of rupa kalapa. When they penetrate into each kalapa, there are eight elements we call pure octet elements. So when he listens this color, he can see the red color of the blood. This is how he sees the color. And if he listens the teeth, and listen to all the tree, then this tree will break down into thousands of billions of particles. It's called pure octet kalapa. So if he listen the smell of that tea, then she can smell the foul, what is called the foul, foul smell. This is how he listens the smell. How about the taste? He pay attention into the particles in the stomach, the food, undigested food or the in the stomach. Then the food will break down into thousands of rupa kalpa. Then when he penetrates that taste, he can feel the taste of sour, bitter, and so on. Now, this is how he listens the objective materiality. So all these are in the body, not out the body. Of course, outside the body also we got the taste, color, and so on. But now we are talking what's in the body. Okay. Then it goes to another 10 non-real materiality.
Could you explain nutritive essence?
Nutritive essence. Okay, nutritive essence is the essence found in the edible food.
Mm-hmm.
I will reach there. Found in the edible food. And it starts to occur when the food swallow into the body. I will explain to you how it comes. Okay, 10 non-real materiality. Why they are called non-real materiality? Because they are called 10 non-real materiality because they are the mode or attribute of concrete produced matter. They themselves are not the real materiality, but attribute or the mode of real materiality. And they are not included among the ultimate reality. Ultimate reality has only 18. And they do not arise directly from the four main causes of matter. They do not arise from karma, from consciousness, from nutriment, or from temperature. So what are these 10? Number one is called space element. Or we call limiting phenomena. I will explain later. Number two is called bodily intimation. Number three, verbal intimation. These two are called communicating phenomena. To display intention, to communicate with others. And the number four is lightness of real materiality, malleability of real materiality, and wieldiness of real materiality. It's a special move of real materiality. For example, when your mental state is good, you have very good mood, then the materiality also has these three: lightness, malleability, and wieldiness. When you take the wholesome food, your body also become light, become workable, because of these three, the special mode of real materiality. And the next is production and continuity, decay and impermanence. These four are called characteristics of matter, because every matter goes through arising and dissolution. Okay, let us discuss what is space element. Here are different kalapas. For example, eye, dekat kalapa, body, dekat kalapa, pure octet kalapa, and actual dekat kalapa. How to differentiate each one? Sometimes they mix together. So it needs a space element, which the characteristic of space element is delimiting matter. Delimit it. then you can know this I dekhe kalapa, this body dekhe kalapa. So the function is to display boundary of the matter. Because of the boundary of one here, then you know this body dekhe kalapa or this pure object kalapa. So this is the characteristic and function of the space element. Is it clear? Yeah? Okay. Now, what's bodily intimation? The mode and the alteration in the consciousness originated four great elements in which wind element is predominant that causes the occurrence of moving forward. For example, you want to say something. Because of the intention, want to say something?
Goal.
Pardon?
Goal of intention.
Oh, sorry. Because you want to move. You want to move forward. Because of the intention, want to move forward. A lot of materiality born from consciousness arise. So this citta rupa, materiality born from consciousness, we call citta rupa. This one, all the body. No, because of, and the wind element in that each kalapa become very predominant. As we have studied, the function of wind element is to cause motion or movement from one place to another place. So when the wind element become predominant, so it moves the whole body forward. So this is called bodily intimation. Okay. The predominance of wind element in the materiality originated from consciousness. The function is to display intention. Then next we go to verbal intimation. It's a mode and the alteration in the consciousness originated four elements in which earth element is predominant that causes the occurrence of the speech or utterance. For example, you want to talk something, you want to say something. Come, the word come. So when the mind wants to say something, then it produces a lot of rupa kalapa. We call materiality born from consciousness. So when this citta rupa, this matter, materiality, reach the truth here. It's all the body, when you reach the truth. In the truth here, we have materiality born from karma. Born from karma. In the materiality born from karma, there's also earth element. So the earth element in the materiality born from consciousness strike the earth element in the materiality born from karma, then the sound or the voice occurs. You get it or not? For example, the hardness, the earth element in my hand, strike the earth element in this table, so you hear the sound, the voice. So this is called verbal intimation. If you have performed very good wholesome karma in the past, so your kamadya rupa, your materiality produced by karma is excellent. So when you want to say something, the earth element in the materiality born from consciousness strike the superior earth element here, born from karma. Then your voice becomes very pleasant to the ear. Like the Lord Buddha's voice, very pleasant to the ear. So if you have very rough voice, it's because of your past bad karma. Okay.
And has this any connection with vichara?
What?
With vichara?
No. Vichara? Vichara is mental factor.
Okay. But that's also, you get verbal intimation when you want to speak, like you get that tumhi bhava and all that. Are you tumhi bhava when you noble silence?
No. Now we are talking verbal intimation which causes the speech.
Okay.
Does that say anything about people who can't say? Who can't carry it?
Sing.
Who can't carry a tune?
Oh, cannot sing. Who cannot sing or who can sing?
Who cannot?
Who cannot sing.
Singer.
I think that singer, because they have such sweet voice because of past karma.
If they can't sing. Yeah.
But sometimes I think they have good past karma, but they also train. I think they train to make the, you know,
mm-hmm.
use the
mm-hmm.
the from here. So the function of verbal intimation is to display intention. For example, come. I utter the word come. So I display my intention to ask you to come. So this is the function of verbal intimation. Okay. Okay. Now we have finished these two bodily intimating phenomena. Now we come to the characteristic, the four characteristic of matter. Number one is called production. The first arising moment of a material process, or initial arising from the first stage of ether's formation until the completion of all physical faculties. For example, we have discussed during the rebirth moment, there are 30 matters. 30 matters arise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? 30 matters? Body, detect. Kalapa, sex, dekhet kalapa, heart space, dekhet kalapa, for human beings. So the first arising of this 30 is called production. And the first arising in one's lifetime is called production. Okay? It manifests as launch, it's called launching. Launching. Then the second one is continuity. Continual arising of materiality after the completion of all physical faculties. Just now, the production, the first arising up to the all the faculty, for example, eye faculty, ear faculty, nose, all become complete. From the first arising up to the completion of all physical body faculty, ear faculty, that stage is called production.
Mm-hmm.
After complete. Completion of all physical faculty, the next coming, the next arising is called continuity. Okay. Then it manifests as non-interruption, because materiality is keep on arising in passing way. So it manifests as non-interruption. Next is decay. The maturing or aging or ripening of material phenomena. Now this is Sankara Dhamma, condition phenomena. Once arise, must decay. Its function is to lead them, lead the material phenomena towards their termination. Then the next, impermanence. Complete breaking up of material phenomena. And its function is to make them subside. To make the materiality subside, disappear. Okay. So we have four characteristics of matter. One is production. Number two is continuity. Number three, decay. Number four, impermanence or death. So it's another way of explanation, as I have said, one rupa kalapa go through three stages. Do you remember that? Arising, static, and dissolution. So the arising equal to production and continuity. These two equal to arising stage of materiality. And the static equal to decay. And the dissolution equal to impermanence. It's another way of explanation. Okay. Now we come to origination of matter.
Wouldn't static equal continuity?
Mm-hmm.
Static.
Static means equal continuity.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case I say static means impermanent. Decay. It's going down already.
Static in the English language means
stable.
Yeah, there's just 59 movements. 59 movements. this life span. This
reminds me of, you know, how the cells divide in the, in what is called the, in the mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
You get them dividing fast, you get one cell, two mm-hmm. cells, four cells, 16,
mm-hmm.
64. Mm-hmm. And all these, all those things are defined right there.
In science. Because I'm not a science student. I don't know how it works. Okay, come to the most important part, origination of matter. Because the teaching of the Buddha is only concerned with cause and effect. So whatever arises must have its cause. So what is the cause of arising of matter? Mm. Number one is karma. Mm. Number two, consciousness. Mm. Number three, temperature. And number four, nutrition. Okay. Materiality originating from karma. What type of karma that produced this materiality? There are 24 kinds of karma. Yes. 12 unwholesome consciousness. We have discussed this. 12 unwholesome, rooted in, 8 rooted in greed, 2 in anger, and 2 in delusion. But this type of unwholesome consciousness only produced materiality in the 4 woeful states, not in the human realm. Okay, so this 12 out for us. And the 8 wholesome consciousness. 8 wholesome consciousness, for example, now we are alive here. It's because of the previous karma among this 8. One of the karma, for example, one consciousness accompanied with joy, associated from knowledge, prompted. This karma among it, this karma ripens that produce our materiality in this very life. And this karma, the same karma will produce this materiality successively until the 17 mind moment preceding to the death consciousness will continue to arise and pass away. And the five material wholesome consciousness, this only can produce materiality in the five material realm, in the Brahma world. Okay. So the matter produced, yes?
Sorry,
not
a question. So one consciousness.
Mm. One consciousness means one karma.
In a previous life, one moment.
You take consciousness, for example, the first one, the one consciousness accompanied by joy, associated from knowledge prompted. That consciousness happened many times in the jhana stage. Do you remember jhana? So when we perform, for example, dana, we perform sometimes with only 10 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes, for example, in Pau, yeah, more than 600 people. So the person who performs the dana takes 45 minutes to offer the food. So for the 45 minutes, how many jhavanas arise and pass away? Uncountable. That karma, that consciousness, the same consciousness run for 7 times again and again and again, become the karma. That karma produced now our materiality.
Okay. If it arises in that last pre-death.
Now you become very intelligent. Very quick. If that karma ripened during near-death cognitive process, then that karma produced now our materiality born from karma. Okay?
Sister, why did you say prompted?
No, I just keep one example.
Yeah.
Among it, I just keep one example. Okay, there are 9 groups, because materiality must arise in a group. There are 9 groups exclusively born from karma. Eye, dekhet kalapa. Ear, dekhet kalapa. Nose, dekhet kalapa. Tongue, dekhet kalapa. Body, dekhet kalapa. And female sexual, dekhet kalapa. Or male sexual, dekhet, either one. And the heart, face, dekhet kalapa. the number nine, life knowledge kalapa. This nine groups exclusively born from karma. Cannot born from consciousness, cannot be born from temperature, cannot be born from nutriment. Okay? Okay. Initial arising of materiality by karma. When it starts to arise? When the materiality born from karma starts to arise? Okay? RB stands for rebirth consciousness. Right? Rebirth consciousness. Every consciousness go through, the lifespan of consciousness go through three stages. We call, this one is called sub-moment. Arising stage, static stage, and dissolution stage. Every either materiality or mentality go through these three stages. But mind is faster than materiality because the lifespan of materiality lasts for 17 mind moments. So, at this arising stage of rebirth consciousness, materiality born from karma already arisen. For human being, it's 30. Body, deket kalapa, heart, base, deket kalapa, and sex, deket kalapa. So this 30 starts to arise from the first arising stage of rebirth consciousness. And this 30 matter continue to arise at every stage. This static stage also produce kamaja rupa. The dissolution stage also produce kamaja rupa. Every stage of kamaja rupa arise and pass away, arise and pass away. That's why you ask the heart transplanted. Even though the heart was transplanted, but the kamaja, the materiality born from karma continue to arise at every stage. So even heart removed doesn't matter. Because kamaja, the materiality produced by karma are continuously arising and passing away until the 17th moment preceding to death consciousness. Because the lifespan of materiality only lasts for 17 moments. So after 17 moments, the materiality go to 17 moments, then that consciousness pass away, or the materiality born from karma also perish. Any question? Am I going too fast? No, okay. Now we go to materiality originating from consciousness. We have 89 types of consciousness in Abhidhamma. 75 types of consciousness can produce materiality born from consciousness. Exclude immaterial sphere resultant in the Brahma world. Because in the immaterial sphere, there's no rupa. So their mind cannot produce materiality. And also exclude two sets of five fold sense consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, tongue, nose, body. These consciousness are very weak. They lack of power to produce materiality. So apart from these two, the rest of consciousness can produce materiality. For example, you feel sorrow, sad. Because of that consciousness, that mental state, thousands of rupa, thousands of materialities are produced in the body. That's called inferior materiality. Then your whole body becomes, there's no lightness, no weightiness, and no malleability. Body becomes heavy, the facial expression becomes dull, and so on. This is how consciousness produce materiality. And for the jhana, absorption jhana, for example, a person enter into jhana. Many jhana arise and pass away. We call jhana absorption jhana. So that jhana consciousness, that absorption jhana can maintain the body upholding the body. So a person can sit 3 hours, 4 hours without moving. It's called consciousness, materially born by consciousness. Then also, for example, when you are doing dana, you have a lot of joy. So you smile when you offer. That mental state also produce a lot of materiality born from consciousness. And the wind element in that materiality born from consciousness become predominant. That it moves your facial expression. Then your mouth become green up there. That's how materiality was born by consciousness, according to your state of consciousness. And the samatha and vipassana consciousness can produce a lot of superior materiality. That materiality is all over the body, so your complexion becomes very clear. Those who have just emerged from a jhana, you can see their complexion is very clear. For example, when you observe the meditator's face, you know, roughly you can know whether they have good concentration or not. Because the materiality produced by consciousness are shown in all over the body. Okay. There are 6 groups produced by consciousness. So, the pure object, the bodily intimation knowledge. For example, you want to move forward. You want to move forward. Then the body intimation plus the pure object we call bodily intimation knowledge. Want to move forward is the mind. Mind want to move, that's how the body follows. So it's called materiality produced by consciousness. In the verbal intimation, you want to talk something. I have already explained to you. And for the pure object plus lightness triad. For example, your mental state is wholesome, happiness, joy. Then you also have this lightness, malleability and wieldiness. So plus these 3 together. Okay. And the bodily intimation, knowledge plus lightness. Now your sound, sorry, your movement, because of wholesome, superior mental state. Then your movement become very light, very ready, you can move very fast. When you are sorrow or sad, your body becomes heavy. So even you move become, if there's no lightness, no wieldiness and no malleability. Okay. And the last one, the verbal intimation, knowledge plus sound, lightness and triad. Anapana. You breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Now this sound. And sorry, I'm wrong. The verbal intimation, you talk something. The sound also appear. And because of the wholesome mental state, then the lightness are there. So these 6 groups are produced by consciousness.
Just to clarify, does that mean that consciousness only produces the non-real materiality?
Non-real materiality is only the mode of real materiality. It does not produce... It arises does not from these 4 causes. They do not arise directly from this consciousness, karma,
real materiality.
It's an attribute of real materiality only. Okay.
And then could consciousness produce space?
Space is also the attribute.
So can it be produced by consciousness?
Cannot say produce. Say produce in direct cause. This space, lightness and so on, they are the attribute of real materiality. They do not arise directly from this 4 causes. So we cannot say consciousness produce space. Okay. Now the initial arising of materiality originated from consciousness. When it starts, consciousness born rupa start to form at the arising moment of bhavanga consciousness. According to the commentary, each consciousness goes through 3 stages, arising, static, and dissolution. According to commentary, the arising stage of consciousness is the strongest. That's why at the strongest stage, the Bhavanga consciousness produce materiality. We call materiality born from consciousness. Okay? But for materiality, for Rupa, Rupa also got three stages. But for Rupa, stage six is the strongest. So Rupa only can produce new generation when it reaches the static stage. But for the consciousness, the strongest is the arising stage. So consciousness only produce materiality at the at the arising stage. Static stage, no, cannot produce any materiality. Dissolution stage also cannot produce materiality. So consciousness, born Rupa, start to form at the arising of Bhavanga, the second consciousness in one's lifetime. Rebirth consciousness, first one, Bhavanga, the second consciousness. From here, materiality born from consciousness start to arise. Okay, is it clear? Okay, now materiality originated from 10 creatures. When fire element in each kalapa reaches static stage, it starts to produce new generation of kalapa. For example, let's say pure object kalapa, born from any other consciousness or karma. So there are 8 elements in pure object kalapa. You see the fire element. When this fire element reaches static stage, each materiality has three stages, arising, static, and dissolution. So when this fire element reaches static stage, it starts to produce new generation of Rupa Kalapa. First generation. And this generation, this one Rupa Kalapa also got 8 elements. In the 8th element also got fire element. That fire element reaches the static stage, it produces another generation, the second generation. And the fire element in the second generation of Rupa Kalapa reaches the static stage, further produce another materiality, another Rupa. This is how temperature, materiality born by temperature. Every fire element has the potentiality to produce materiality, either internally or externally.
And the static stage again is decay? Is when the kalapa begins to decay?
Static stage. We have three stages. Static stage becomes the powerful for materiality. Static stage is the powerful one. It's the strongest one. So at this time, it starts to produce materiality. Then after that, it becomes pass away, disappear. Okay? Any question?
I assume this is happening really, really fast?
Yes, very, very fast. Mm-hmm. This happens internally and externally. All externally, why the mountain can remain there for thousands of years? Because of the fire element in the mountain. The fire element has the potential to produce new generation again and again and again and again. Until the fire element lost its force, then the mountain will become dust. Then disappear in the wind.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. In that case,
is,
I forgot, is static the same as decay?
Now let us say only three stages. Okay. Let us say only three stages. Arising, static, and dissolution. Now we forget about that. Decay first because you become very confused. So at these three stages, arising, static, and dissolution. For materiality, static is the powerful, strongest. So it only produces new generation at the stage of static. Then after it produces, then it disappears. Okay. But for mentality, for mind, arising is the strongest. So consciousness only can produce materiality at the arising stage. So for kamajya, for materiality born from karma, we call kamajya. The fire element in the materiality born from karma can produce four or five generations. And for ordinary citta-tya, for ordinary materiality born from consciousness, only can produce two or three generations. But for the samatha and vipassana, consciousness can produce many, many generations. And for aharaja, the materiality born from consciousness, born from entrainment, can produce 10 or 12 generations. It's our body, we take one meal, can sustain, that nutriment can sustain our body for 7 days. Because it has a very good production, it can produce 10 to 12 generations.
But I thought that 10 or 12 generations would pass.
But new rupa again.
And then they have 10 or 12.
Huh?
Mm. So, I guess I don't understand why there would be this limiting generations thing, because it seems like it's constantly being reproduced.
Yes, because, but this, for some of this one, fire element can produce again, 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 until the fourth becomes less, then it cannot produce.
And then what happens?
Pass away. But there are many kalapa, this is only one kalapa.
Then another kalapa.
There are some billions of kalapa arise together. Then billions of kalapa arise together, followed by another billions of kalapa arise together, because our consciousness are keep on arising and passing away. So every consciousness can produce materiality. Okay. This is only one kalapa as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we reach the most interesting part that you should know. How light appears during meditation. Okay. So how this light appears? For example, you are practicing samatha and vipassana meditation. This type of materiality we call materiality born from consciousness. So in the materiality born from consciousness, we have eight elements. Here, this white one is, let's say, is materiality born from consciousness, we call citta-jaya rupa. More short English, very long. Citta-jaya rupa. Citta means consciousness. So this citta-jaya rupa. Let's say we enlarge this kalapa. We enlarge, then we can discern the eight elements in that citta-jaya rupa. And the fire element in that citta-jaya rupa, as I have said, every fire element has the potentiality to produce new generation of kalapa. So this fire element produce red color. All the red color are called materiality produced by temperature. And the white color is materiality produced by consciousness. So all this, because they keep on producing, so all they can't mix together. So this is citta-jaya plus uttu-jaya rupa kalapa. And this only happens internally. Internally. But for the fire element not only can produce materiality internally as well as externally. So the fire element, this is called uttu-jaya rupa. In each uttu-jaya rupa kalapa, still got fire element. This fire element can produce another generation internally as well as externally. Okay? And in each kalapa, you see, we got color. In each kalapa, we have color. So this color, because supported by the samatha and vipassana consciousness, this color becomes very, very bright. Ordinarily, mind, the color is not bright. But because of concentration and wisdom, the color becomes very bright. And you see, thousand billions of sarapa arise together and arise perfectly close to each other. So the color in each kalapa also arise close to each other. So it becomes light. Huh? It becomes your nimitta. It becomes the light here. Okay? But the cittajya rupa, because consciousness produces a lot of materiality in the body, and the color in that materiality becomes very bright. That brightness you only can see inside the body. Sometimes you feel the inside the body is very bright because of the color.
Mm-hmm.
The color becomes very bright because of concentration. Okay. And because billions of particles, billions of rupa arise successively, and it is as all they group together, so the color also arise very closely to each other, so that they manifest as light. Okay. And externally, because this from the cittajya rupa, inside the cittajya rupa got fire. This fire can produce a new generation externally. That new generation we call uttajya rupa also got color. This color also become very bright. So it produced a lot, not only one kalapa, a lot of kalapa produced. So the color arrives close to each other successively, then become light under your nostril. Okay, is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So depend on how strong is the concentration. The light, the color, or the generation can spread out very far. For example, the light can spread out very far, depend on the degree of your concentration. For example, the Buddha's concentration, the light produced by his concentration and wisdom reached 10,000 words, Buddha. If your concentration is very strong, your light can go very far. You can shine your light very far, up to the sky, you can see the heaven there. Then you can shine your light down to the earth, then you can see hell beings there. Okay, any question? I think this is the most important part for you to know how your light appears. Is it scientific? Logical?
So my question is a basic one, and is what is the best way to use information of Abhidhamma, having some understanding about how all this works, how to use it once you've attained concentration?
How to use it when you?
Once you have attained jhana and some degree of concentration. So you have conceptual understanding.
But, yes, and at least you know all this process, how it takes place. Previously, you don't know at all how this light appears. Where does it come from? No, you don't know at all. But now you know from the Abhidhamma perspective, you know all these things happen when all the favorable conditions are met together.
So it kind of makes sense of your experience.
Yes, at least you truly understand what's happening within you.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you think, for example, when I was in 2002, I was in